For years now, I have continued each year to look forward to this Sunday after our annual meeting, which I refer to as Vision Sunday, a day that I have the privilege and responsibility to explain further the pastoral vision, which I presented a few nights ago at the annual meeting. This past Friday, I read through the pastoral letter, and in that letter I declared the vision of individual accountability and corporate cohesion, which I believe that if we live in, we will find God being honored in our lives, our church, and we will see the fruit of God's work through the church in the world. Essentially, the healing of the nations that we read about in the last few chapters of the Bible. I have continued to labor in and advocate for healthy church engagement as the solution to many ills, be they ills in our lives, in the church, and or in the world. This is because I truly believe that the church, in its truest and healthiest expression, a unifying and focusing effort in a divided and distracted world, is the epicenter of God's work in healing. As I have said, where Scripture asserts, and what Scripture asserts, the church is the purpose of God. Consider with me this morning. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10 says, "To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ." Now, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Ephesus in the first century. So he's writing about his calling to go and preach this gospel to the Gentiles, the unfathomable riches in Christ, of Christ, and to enlighten all people as to what the plan of the mystery is, which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, so that the multifaceted wisdom of God might be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, again, just notice very simply from the text, verse 10, so that the multifaceted wisdom of God might be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verses 10 and 11. After penning an entire letter to tell a disorderly church to get it together, the apostles declare in verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 14, so 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26, "Let all things be done for the edification, the building up, the benefit of the church." I think we can see the focus, the purpose regarding the church, and why I would believe it's so important, why I would assert that it's the epicenter of God's work in healing in the world. So let's also consider a couple other texts. If you'll turn with me to the book of Acts, we're going to look at Acts chapter 2 first. I just want to mark out some other very important things regarding the church. Again, the scriptures pretty much say what needs to be said in this regard. I just want to go ahead and highlight them for us. So we're going to take a look at Acts chapter 2. We're going to focus in on verse 40. "And with many other words, he exhorted the witnesses and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourself from this crooked generation." I don't know that I'd have to argue with folks that that's a message that can ring true today. "So those who received this word were baptized, and they were added about 3,000 souls to the church. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to anyone who had need, and day by day attending to the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. and received food with gladness and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Now again, taking it from the last part up, we see here an outline on how to add to the church, how to build up the church, of course. We see here an outline on how to have favor with the community, have favor with the people, is simply by being the church, by being what we read about right there in Acts chapter 2, which again, I think we do a great job of with the Hub of Help. We need to be known for this. We need to engage this, truly, all of us engaging it. I'll show you also Acts chapter 4 here, verse 32. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. This is very important to hold on to here. One heart and soul. They were unified. And no one said anything belonged to him that was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power the apostles were giving their testimony in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a person, needy person among them. Why? Because they distributed everything according to people that had need, as we read in the previous chapter. For as many as were owners of land, had houses, sold them and brought them to the apostles, brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each who had need. So again, we see this beautiful picture of caring for the needy among them and the role of the church. A bit more specific would be, we're a Bible church. This week I had the opportunity to share with a group of people what exactly a Bible church is. Whereas for many within the Christian faith, creeds or confessions, denominations, and other distinctions have allowed for a corporate cohesion, we believe having a contextual read of the Bible and narrative understanding of what God did and is doing. This outlines the main things that we must agree upon, with many liberties in the details. Some Bible churches fall victim of proof texting, not us. As I have often remarked, a narrative understanding of the Bible is our best apologetic. It's the best way we demonstrate our Christian faith, is by looking at the main narrative, the large picture of what the scripture is saying, and developing our understanding based on that. It's really just the best way to help people understand the faith and to demonstrate the goal of the faith. I spoke about my perspective of the annual meeting with many of you, and the idea that it's sort of my new year. So I believe this affords us a time of review, renew, and resolve, a time to make plans, time to make goals, time to move forward. So let's go ahead and consider the pastoral vision. Individual accountability and corporate cohesion. So, I've said it again and again. We do it on the first Sunday of the month through our celebration of the Lord's table, that we need to examine ourselves. The apostles were adamant about this, and ultimately this is how we begin to walk in doing all things for the glory of God. By examining ourselves. We read, examine yourself in 1 Corinthians 11. We read, do all things to the glory of God, in the previous chapter, 1 Corinthians 10:31. So this morning, let's go ahead, or today, whenever you're listening to this, examine yourself. Are you called? God calls those who are his. He's the good shepherd. Those who are his know his voice, hear his voice. Are you called? Do you know your calling? Those are two different things, right? To know that you're called by God, and then to know what you're called to do by way of being called by God. Those are sort of two different things there. We might say it's similar to your election, right? So you're elected for something, but then there's a role that your election should play. What are you elected to do? That's important. That's something we don't see a whole lot of that in our society, but the church can stand up and count for that. We can say that we're Not only are we elected to a purpose by being the children of God, the peacemakers, Jesus said that, right? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So if we live up to what we are called and elected to do, we have an opportunity to fill in a gap. So we know our calling. We're called and we know our calling. So are you walking worthy of your calling and election? That's an apostolic exhortation. That's what we read in Scripture, to walk worthy of our calling and election. And then, of course, as we talk about the local church setting here and having a bit of individual accountability, are you counted among us? Are you here? Are you present? Are you here in attendance? Are you counted among us regarding healthy engagement with the church, what we've been really manifesting this past year and talking about as a community? Ultimately, what this church is built upon, and I'll get to that here in a moment. Are you living out the purpose of this church? Are you living up to your membership commitments that you've made? And what I'd like to do is go ahead and share with you what the Constitution says in that regard, regarding the purpose of this church and our membership commitments. Article 2 of the Constitution of the Blue Point Bible Church, last revised in 1993, says, "The purpose of this church shall be to make disciples, that is, to produce mature believers, by carrying out God's objectives for his church in the world, evangelizing the lost, and edifying the people of God." And it goes on to explain evangelism and edification in the Constitution. However, again, I want to highlight here that the purpose of this church is to make disciples of Jesus who are carrying out the objectives of God in the world. Again, by examining themselves and walking worthy of their calling and election. So let's go ahead and consider the general duties of membership, which again, those of you who are members have taken this on as a commitment, a covenant, if you will. And then those of you who are attendees are around those who have taken on that covenant and want to encourage you to take on that agreement as well. And here's what we read. It's just simply five outlines in Article 2 of the Rules of Church Order in our church constitution. And Section 1 says the duties of members to themselves are the acquisition of scriptural knowledge, constant progress in spirituality, consistency of external conduct, and the control and eradication of every unholy temper. Of course, we thank God for his grace. Section 2, it is the duty of members to honor, esteem, and love their pastor, to pray for him fervently and daily, to submit to him in the scriptural exercise of his official authority, to attend constantly upon his ministrations, to manifest a tender regard for his reputation, and to contribute toward his support in proportion to their ability. And of course, I want to highlight in that one, attending to the ministration simply means being here for the things that we're calling you to do and be a part of in our church community. Section 3, it is the duty of each member to cultivate and cherish brotherly love for all members of this church, and to show this love by using all proper measures to promote their spiritual benefit and prosperity. Section 4, toward those who are not connected with this church, it is the duty of members to be exacting in fulfilling their obligations and performing their promises, and as opportunity may enable them, to commend the gospel of Christ unto them. Section 5, it is the duty of all members removing from the vicinity of this church to take letters of dismissal. I'll stop there because, again, this was edited in 1993, and I think there were some things going on then that we don't necessarily participate in any longer. So, again, I think I made the point regarding the purpose of the church and the general duties of membership. So, moving us a bit further. Bear with me a moment here. Individual accountability. Individual accountability brings us to discern liberty, discernment, grace, ultimately having a seeking, searching, studying, and proving mentality that we might actually do the work, what we might refer to as doing the work. Over the last few weeks, the term campaigning has come to mind for me. Campaigning what God is doing in and through you. Are you walking in your election and doing what you have been elected to do? I appreciate the wisdom we receive from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., where he says, we are called to be a people of conviction, not conformity, of moral nobility, not social responsibility. We are commanded to live differently and according to a higher loyalty. Again, highlighting people of conviction. We are to be a people of moral nobility. I thought that was an interesting contrast to social responsibility, because again, social responsibility simply means, you know, that's the kind of the civic duty, whereas moral nobility is that we're called to a higher standard where we should feel called to take on these things, not just doing it for the benefit of society. This is what God would want his people to be participating in and doing. So how might we implement some individual accountability in our lives? And I would say, consider the usual exhortations that we receive. We are called to walk worthy of our calling and election, a lot around here, to possess and increase in the things of God, healthy engagement with the church. These are things that we simply need to be accountable to. Then, of course, activity and attendance. This year, we're going to do some activity and attendance sheets to kind of just hold ourselves individually accountable, to see for ourselves where we, how much we're participating or the lack thereof. Then, of course, being here for worship service is a great endeavor toward individual accountability. We're going to host a bunch of different studies, classes, and courses, and mission sheets that, you know, will keep you further engaged in the things we're doing this year at our church, and provide a variety of different interests and opportunities for us to, you know, live in what we call a thinking faith. So we'll also host the Hub of Help, which is an opportunity, of course, for service, which we're all called to. Jesus talked quite a bit, and the New Testament talks quite a bit about serving those who are around us. I read quite a few verses at the very beginning that talk about helping the needy among us. Evangelism, we're going to do some door knocking this year if you want to join me on that, and different opportunities to engage folks. We'll do some phone calls. They're not necessarily cold calls. They're warm calls. Is there people that have signed up to be interested in receiving some information? Maybe haven't heard from us in a while. However, we're going to do some of that. And then, of course, we're looking for more participation in our worship service this year. So that's definitely things you could be holding yourself accountable to. That list of more detailed information regarding our classes and courses and opportunities in that regard will be available next week, and that will be a calendar from February to April of different opportunities for you to engage. And then, of course, we need to talk about corporate cohesion, which, if you were taking notes on the back of your bulletin, as I often encourage, or in your notebook, put individual accountability, number one, corporate cohesion, number two. That's the second part of this vision for the year. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26, again, I mentioned it at the beginning. I'll mention it again. We read, let all things be done for the building up of the church, the edification of the church. Which, as I mentioned in the beginning of today's sermon, this comes at the end of the apostles detailing church issues and unity. The importance of each individual person is important, despite the problems that are going on and the mess of the church and all the things we can lament, as they were evident then as well. We simply know the phrases, teamwork makes the dream work. We are stronger together. There's many others I could probably list, but I think that's sufficient. Acts chapter 4, verse 32, being a prime example. All the believers were one in heart and in mind. They shared their possessions. Philippians 4, 2, 2 says, believers were like-minded, having the same love, being of one spirit and of one mind for selfless service. And then Romans 15, 6 also speaks of glorifying God with one mind and one voice. So being together and having a unity, a oneness, is so important. Again, we're a Bible church. We talked about this, and I want to kind of lean in on that a bit more. We're a Bible church that believes God has made clear his sovereign grace and fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Thereby, the church becomes the purpose and the presence of God. That's what all of this leads to, is that God has a sovereign way of calling those who are his and he's fulfilled Bible prophecies to a Bible prophecy to establish the church as the presence and power of God. So what we are here at Blue Point particularly is a non-denominational Bible church. We're post-denominational, as we have some that might be more considerate of the Catholic view, or maybe some that are antagonistic. We might have some that are, kind of wherever you are in your journey of understanding denominations and distinctions in the Christian perspective, we're open to that. So we're not non-denominational as we're ignoring it, but post-denominational, understanding the differences and the needs for them. Then, of course, the purpose of this church, as I mentioned at the beginning of our service here with the Constitution, says that we exist to produce mature disciples. And that's what we're doing here, is leaning in on the knowledge of God and not looking to provide milk, but provide meat to help folks mature in their understanding of God and God's work in this world and how they might participate in God's work in this world. And then the pastoral vision is a great way, of course I would say that, right, is a great way to provide some help in regards to shaping corporate cohesion. And you might call this campaigning as a church, right? I talked about before campaigning as an individual and living out your calling in election. Well, how do we do that as a church, as a corporate group? And I believe this is doing what we can do to truly help those around us. We must do this by way of helping them learn and discern what is going on at the Blue Point Bible Church and how they might participate in this work of God. In order to campaign for the church, knowing the purpose, the vision, the direction the church is going and playing your part in, it is ultimately very necessary. Even simply being consistently present. When we are truly present and on purpose, which is a reflection back to the pastoral vision from last year, we give ability to keep the main thing the main thing. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., again, he had said, if the Church of Jesus Christ is to regain once more its power, message, and authentic ring, it must conform only to the demands of the gospel. But yet we must get back to the gospel. We must make sure we understand what the gospel is that's holding us together with a corporate cohesion. So that being said, some ideas, I'm going to work up corporate cohesion statements that we're going to identify as a congregation and actively work toward, and each one of us will acknowledge it and say, yes, that's, something I want to contribute to and be a part of, and sign on to, if you will. And those will be our main points, what keeps us cohesive and keeps us, despite distinctions and differences, there's things that we can commit to and understand why we're committing to them. Of course, our worship service is a great way to find unity and celebrate together. How we treat our worship service and encourage others to experience it says a lot about what we believe about being here and what we believe in the power of being here to truly be. So we must know and live and be able to express what it is, what a Bible church is, and what it means to be here, and what should come forth from this, and what we can and should be telling others should be clear. Allowing and creating environments and contexts for communication is something I think we've all agreed upon around here, and which has been sort of our legacy. Diversity of thought, a true Christian apologetic, a thinking faith, as we like to refer more recently. And then, of course, evangelism will allow us opportunities to explain things in a cohesive way, going out two by two, if you will, and further proving and learning and discerning who we are and what we are as a group and how we're inviting people in on that. I look forward to that prospect. Again, making things like a campaign, getting out there and door knocking, etc. So our worship service bulletin continues to be an opportunity for folks to engage the things we're doing at the church, whether it's announcements or to follow the outline or take it home and share your notes that you wrote on the back. Again, individual accountability and corporate cohesion. And then you have your Sunday sermon review that I often put up on a Monday or a Tuesday, or sometimes even on a Sunday. Then we have the weekly updates. There's about two that are put out each week, and then they're recorded on our church website, bluepointbiblechurch.org. And then there's the monthly calendar that we put out and put on the board and put on the website. The website itself, bluepointbiblechurch.org. And then our Facebook page, the Blue Point Bible Church. These are all great ways that you could engage. And then, of course, there's the, I must make mention, we do different sermon series, which is the kind of a way to involve people and pull people in that maybe you're like, well, I don't want to jump in on the middle of not knowing what's going on. But if they jump in at the beginning of a sermon series, it's a great way for people to engage what we're doing. Then we have, I've been doing the Proverb a Day, which is just a great way to engage people in thought and opportunity to talk about the scriptures with people. And then we've been doing the Prophet Bible reading, which we have an outline for available from January 1st to April 1st. We'll read through all of the prophets. I know I have some catch up to do, so if you want to jump in, you still have some time, of course, just a little bit of reading ahead of you. And again, there's just so much more that we can do. So I might say, what else can, what should we do? And I've given you a list of some questions that are available in your bulletin that I'd ask you to consider, you know, in regards to what we're doing as a congregation, and submit that a bit later today. So I hope to have explained these things to you in practical ways, that I have detailed how each one of us, yes, even you, can take part in this vision that works toward what God wants, all things for his glory and all things for the building up of his church. Again, 1 Corinthians 10:31 and 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. Let's be individually accountable this year. Encourage others to be so as well, and work toward and express corporate cohesion in all that we do.